Well, hello again. We're going to continue really on our lesson from last week. I think the title of it was The Man of Truth. I'm not sure what today we might call today's Walking in the Truth. Walking in the Truth. It's not mandatory that you hear last week's lesson, but if you haven't heard that one, I really recommend it to you. You know, we're pressing into the greatest revival that the world has seen, even beyond the book of Acts, according to what the Lord has said. It's going to be a combination of the early rain and the latter rain. He said things are going to be seen that man has never seen before. Well, what a statement that is, because man has seen some amazing things, not only in the Old Testament, like the Red Sea splitting and the cloud by night, and the pillar, no, cloud by day, pillar of fire at night, and it's just, you know, so many things. But then all the works of Jesus, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the maimed are made whole. But even Jesus said, those that believe on him, the works that he did, the works that I do, he says, the works that I do, those that believe on me, they shall do also, and even greater. Well, a big part of that greater is there's going to be not just one human vessel on planet Earth through whom the Father can work. There's going to be millions of human vessels, of believers, through whom the Lord can work, through them, because we are the body of Christ. Okay, just one message. That's the problem with teachers. We tend to go down. I want to teach all of this, you know. Okay. Let me read you two verses. You can look these up if you want to. The first one is in John 1:17, because the subject we're on is truth. Last week, again, the title was The Man of Truth. I believe today is going to be Walking in the Truth. John 1:17 says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And then I was reading in 3 John this week, and this verse just stood up off the page. It has before to me, but again, like, this is what I want you to focus on this week. John said to, he was writing to another believer named Gaius, and one of the things he said was in 3 John verse 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And just as that stood up off the page to me, I remember Jesus saying in John chapter 8, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now see, you need to know the truth. You need to know the truth. But I've learned from experience, and I can teach it from the Bible. There is a big difference even between knowing the truth and walking in that truth. Big difference. Now, first off, you have to know the truth. I'm learning truth. I hope you're still learning truth. But I am grateful for the truth I'm walking in today compared to the truth I was walking in 40 years ago when Sue and I first got born again. Now, when you get born again, you know, God promises in this new covenant, in the book of Hebrews, he says twice, "I will write my laws in their hearts and in their minds." That happens instantly when you get born again. Again, I want to remind you of myself and my good friend Homer Betancourt. He and I were talking one day, and we were discussing how, you know, in the first few minutes after you get saved, I'm just going to focus on Homer because he's the bad boy. I love you, Homer. He knows that. Homer, I heard him again this week. He preached this week, and he was saying again what a bad boy he was, and a bad husband, and a thug, and a thief, and drug user, and womanizer, and potty mouth, and on and on and on. Didn't think anything of it. That's the way he said part of it was his culture that he was raised in. You know, your attitude towards women was not good and that type of thing. And he says in the first moments after I was born again, he said, when I got born again, he says, immediately I knew adultery was wrong. I knew my mouth, the way I spoke was wrong. I knew stealing was wrong. I knew, drugs. I knew it was wrong. And he says, it happened almost instantaneously. And I can say the same thing. The way I describe mine, I mean, I was just as much a sinner, just as lost as he was. You see, you could be I like how Alan Taylor teaches it. You could have a doctor sitting on the front row. Now, he may not be committing the same sins as a thief or a drug addict, but he's just as lost. His sins are of a different nature, but he's still a sinner at heart. But anyway, again, one lesson. See, really what that is, that's the nature of God that comes into you when you get born again. And his nature is somewhat pretty much defined. You could go by the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not this and that. And that's God's nature. And I mean, you get that part, the righteous nature, the moment you are born again. Again, I'm going to steal from Alan Taylor. He says, you know, when a dog is born, it has the nature of a dog. And it'll never have the nature of a cat. When a cat is born, it has the nature of a cat. And it'll never have the nature of a dog. Now, you can take that little puppy dog, and it may not have any knowledge. You know, cats have to be trained if you keep them inside. We've had cats more than dogs. You know, they have to be trained to use a litter box. They're not born with that knowledge. They have all the knowledge to be cat. But they have to be trained to do certain things. Well, dogs, you know, that little puppy dog, it has the nature of a dog. It'll always have the nature of a dog. But you could train it to be a seeing eye dog. You could train it to be a police dog. You could train it to be all kind, you know, just, you could train it to be a companion with your children. On and on and on. There's so many things. But that's so much like being born again. We're born with the nature of Christ. And that is instant. Nobody has to teach you that. In fact, he even says that over in the book of Hebrews. He says, nobody, you won't have to be taught that. I'm going to write my laws in your hearts and in your mind. You won't have to be taught that. Because that comes in. Nobody has to teach a dog to be a dog. You have to teach it for its calling. Can I say it that way? You have to train it and teach it for its calling. If it's going to be a seeing eye dog, you're going to have to teach it and train it. If it's going to be a police dog, well, see, who knows your calling? That's why God gave us the Holy Ghost. He's here to teach you and to train you and lead you into your calling. But your nature as a righteous, your righteous nature is a free gift. It is called the gift of righteousness. You can read all about it in Romans chapter 5. Those that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Gift of righteousness. Hallelujah. But right on the other hand, there's so many things that I did not know that Jesus is talking about there, where he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Now, John wrote that to Gaius, but I mean, I know that's the Father's heart to you, and the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It gives God great pleasure when his children walk in the truth. See, it's one thing. When we started at Pastor Dave Roberson's all those years ago, I had been so falsely taught, you know, by religion. I had been taught from the time I was a little boy that they would preach the cross, and I thank God for them. I'm not really, you know, thank God for them, but they get you saved. But right on the other hand, they'll teach you, you know, I don't care how saved you are, you're still just an old sinner saved by grace. Boy, you'll never find that in the Bible. That's just not in there. Now it says you were an old sinner. You got saved by grace. Now you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, his grace has empowered you to walk free from sin. That is the truth. And I did not know that truth when we started at Pastor Dave Roberson. Now don't get me wrong, I hadn't backslidden, you know, into the bars or that any kind of life like that. But there were so many areas of my life that I was allowing because I didn't really know the truth that I didn't have to sin anymore. I still thought, I thought I was just no sinner saved by grace. If you believe that, if you really believe that, then you're going to sin because, you know, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's Proverbs. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, if you think you're an old sinner, so is you. You're going to act that way. And so it was, Pastor Dave would just lovingly but relentlessly hammer into us. No, if you're sinning, it's because you want to. And something in me would rebel, because it went against all that teaching that I had heard for all those years growing up in church. And I, what? No. So I didn't really say it out loud or anything, but part of me was rebelling against that. See, Dave was presenting me truth. And at that moment, I really didn't know the truth because I had been taught against the truth. But the good thing about Dave, he would teach it and he would give the scripture for it. And when you looked it up, it would be in context. And I finally had to surrender to it. I said, good Lord, I am not an old sinner. I don't care how many well-meaning preachers kept saying that from the pulpit and still many say it today. Now, don't get me wrong. I can sin anytime I want to. I hate to tell you this. So could Jesus. He could have if he'd decided to. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. But it's because he humbled himself every day, every day, every day. And he had that spirit of life, the law of the spirit of life in him, that he could choose instead of sin. He gave us that same life. You see, in John chapter 8, verse 12, I believe it is, he says, those that follow me will not walk in darkness. And we say, well, why won't they? Why not? Because they will have the light of life. And he's talking about the same light of life that he had on the inside of him. He was empowered because of his righteous spirit. He was empowered to walk free from sin. How did he have that power? The light of life that was in him. And he says, those that follow me, and he means follow him into the new birth, those that follow him into the resurrection life, if you'll allow me, they're not going to walk in darkness either. Why not? Because they're going to have the light of life. The same light of life that was in him is now in us. That is the truth. In that same chapter, a little further down, is where he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, it took Pastor Dave teaching it to me and teaching it to me and teaching it to me till finally one day I knew the truth. I know for sure I don't have to sin anymore. Knowing that truth and walking in that truth, two different things. I'm always, kind of mean to me and nice to you. We're not going to talk about your stuff or talk about my stuff, okay? At that point in time, I was still smoking, and I wasn't drinking anymore. God, my life was so radically different than how it was before Jesus. I wasn't living for money anymore. I wasn't. There's so many things. Pornography had gone. The bar life had gone for years and years. So much, but I was still smoking. I was still allowing that, and there's a reason for that. Now I'm not going to justify it. Part of it was, though, I thought, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. But when you really find out, no, I'm not. Now you know the truth. Are you going to walk in the truth? See, and that's walking in the truth. Well, I had to confront my flesh. We teach all the time here about mortifying the flesh through that new nature, through the spirit man that you really are on the inside. Well, your new man has a spirit. Let me say it that way. We're supposed to walk by the new man and not the old man, okay? Well, when it really dawned on me, I don't have to smoke anymore. That's something I've just been allowing. Now the war is on, buddy. God had delivered me from alcohol supernaturally. I mean, I just lost my taste for it overnight, and I had been a virtual alcoholic for about 10 years. And one night I just went to bed like that and I woke up sober. I've been sober ever since. I've never had a drop of alcohol since 1980, and this is 2023. And I was delivered without any withdrawal symptoms at all. But it wasn't that way with nicotine, let me tell you. The war was on. It's time to mortify the flesh. And my flesh didn't like it one little bit. I've told that story many times, but just to condense it, my flesh said, if you don't give me a cigarette, I'm going to kill you. Withdrawals got pretty tough. But still, it didn't take that long. And I've been free of that for many, many, many years, free of the nicotine. Now I can't even believe I ever did it. I would have to retrain my body to crave it again. So thank God there is freedom from addictions. But you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, why is this so important? The subject that I'm teaching this year, that he's having me teach right now, is not really being free from sin. It's walking in the truth when it comes to revival. I'm talking about walking in John chapter 14, verse 12. Those that believe on me, they shall do the same works. Those that believe on me, the works that I do, shall they do also, and greater than these shall they do, because I go to the Father. That's the truth. That is absolutely the truth. How many do you see walking in that truth? The works that he does, where the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the maimed are made whole. How many do you even see? We see some, but like even Mark in Mark chapter 16, believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Well, I've seen some of that, but I've also seen many, many that I personally have laid my hands on that died. They died. That's not the will of God. That's not what Jesus said. My truth never changes. You got to understand, truth never changes. But your walking in that truth can sure change. Walking in the truth can sure change. And that's why I'm really teaching on truth. We have other series on walking free from sin. Pastor Dave, if you want to know if you want to get the very best, you can go to daveroberson.org and look at some of his series there. If you've never heard The Born Again Trail by Pastor Dave Roberson, you don't have anything else to do. Just you've got to hear that first. But he has other ones. Now, what I'm talking about is walking in the truth for this revival. The works that I do, shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. And we're not just talking about a few giants of the faith. I thank God for each and every one of them. I thank God for the Smith Wigglesworths. I thank God for the Amy Simple McPhersons. I thank God for all of our heroes of the past that God has used. You could go all the way back to F.F. Bosworth. So many that we've had these heroes, and it's been like here and there and here and there. But see, in this last day revival, it's going to be a manifestation of what the prophet Joel said. He's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. And I mean believers, just plain old believers. Dave would say Joe Public and Mary Wallpaper are going to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. And see, when that happens, you go, how did that happen? Especially if it's something really, like incurable or something deadly. They're going, I was dying and now I'm not, and you laid hands on me in the name of Jesus. Who is this Jesus? See, there's your opportunity to get them born again. And that's the kind of revival that it's going to take to win the world. See, we're believing for a minimum of 1 billion souls won into the kingdom of God during this revival. And not just here in the United States, everywhere around the world where you live. You're on planet Earth. You may not have been born for such a time as this, but you're here for such a time as this. If you're on planet Earth, you're a candidate for this. It's really, you can walk in this, and it's why he's having us teach this. Now, I want to do a little review, just a few verses really from last week, because the Lord led me through a series of verses and highlighted certain phrases in them to get my mind going down this path on truth. And I'd like to do the same thing again in review for this week. So he started, and you don't have to, don't look these up. We don't have time. I'm just going to mention the verse. You can look it up later. looking at the time for your salvation. We're just getting started. John 18:38. What is truth? Well, there's a question. See, if you don't know the truth, you're not going to walk in it. You're not going to be free. So that's a good question. John 18:38. What is truth? John 14:6. Jesus says, I am the truth. There you go. Jesus, what is truth? Jesus says, I am the truth. Okay. Then John 17:17, Jesus was talking to the Father, and he was saying, Father, thy word is truth. Okay, Jesus says, I am the truth. But in John 17, he says, thy word is truth. Oh, then you remember John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made by him. Without him was nothing made. There was not anything made that was made. And then a little further down it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So we know that's talking about Jesus. So when it says, Jesus says, I am the truth, and then he says, thy word is truth, Jesus is the Word. I like to say it this way for my little engineering brain. Jesus is the Word with legs. Jesus is the Word you can see, not just read. You can read the Word, or you can see Jesus. They're the same. Jesus is the Word. John 17:17, still talking about truth. I heard this verse. He said, thy word, we already did that. Thy word is truth. Then Matthew 4:4, see, if the word is truth, Jesus is truth. Now, Jesus says this. How do you walk in it? Matthew 4:4, man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If you're going to walk in truth, then you're going to live by the word of God that has proceeded out of the mouth of God. That's how you walk in the truth. Then John 8, verses 31 through 32, if you continue in my word, if, there's a big if there, if you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, he's not only talking about being free from sin, that is the main subject in John chapter 8, but in our lesson right now, where he's taken us, to know the truth is to take us beyond the impossibility thinking of man. See, Jesus did so many things that we say are impossible. We say if somebody is born blind, they're going to stay blind. But that's not the truth. That is a fact on planet Earth, but it's not the truth where God lives. See, the big prayer, the way you start off with the big prayer, how do we pray, Jesus? Father, hallowed be thy name. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The first thing he says, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth, just as it is in heaven. Let me just ask you, do you actually think there are blind people in heaven? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. It's not allowed. It's not permitted. That's not something, God does not believe abundant life is being blind. And God bless any blind people listening. My good friend Homer, he knows I'm a big part of what I'm doing is to get his sight back. He's blind right now. He's not going to stay blind because that's not the will of God. But when we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, the possibilities in heaven are different than the possibilities on earth unless his kingdom comes. Now, his kingdom has come, but the access into it is by faith. Jesus gave, we just read, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. By his grace now, we have access into the truth of God's realm. We're not limited anymore to the facts of this realm. Blind man, you don't have to be blind. Poor man, you don't have to be poor. Deaf person, you don't have to remain. I said, deaf person, you don't. Sorry. You have to shout to the deaf and let them know. Tease them. Okay, feeling good today. All right. Now, he showed me an aspect of knowing the truth and believing the truth and walking in truth. He combined it with something else, and I was not expecting this result. I was not expecting the result that came from it. Starting off this year of 2023 again, in my private time, I heard again for me that same thing he had said to me a few years ago. And it was like to me personally, Gary, humble yourself, humble yourself, humble yourself. And when you don't think you can humble yourself anymore, then humble yourself some more. Well, okay, if that's all that you hear, then you're trying not to walk in pride and whatever you think humble yourself means. But then he showed me an aspect of humbling myself that I'd really not quite seen before. And it has everything to do with today's lesson about walking in the truth. Now, you can turn here if you want to. We're going all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 4 through 6. And really, I'd almost have to go back a little before there. For God told Adam, he says, you may eat of the fruit of every tree in the garden, but of that tree in the midst of the garden, you don't eat the fruit of that tree. In the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And picking it up, so God says, the same day you eat, you'll die. Got that? That's important. The same day you eat of it, you shall die. Okay? But in Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 4, there was a serpent that came, which type of the devil. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Now, boy, how direct is that? He is coming in direct opposition to the word of God. That's what he does. Hath God said? He did it with Jesus. Right after Jesus was baptized by John in the River Jordan and the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove and a voice from heaven says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. What happens immediately after that, Jesus is tempted in the wilderness and that devil says, if thou be the Son of God. What's he saying? Did God really say? Are you really the Son of God? Here, do something to prove it. And he always comes against the word of God. But boy, here it's just as blatant as it can be. God says to Adam, you shall surely die. Here the serpent says, you shall not surely die. Whew. Then he goes and expands on his lie. He says, the serpent says, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her, boy, if you underline in your Bible, gave also unto her husband with her. You ought to underline those three words. Husband with her. And he did eat. I remember the day it dawned on me. What? Adam was right there. Adam was with her. Adam heard everything that was going on there. And he didn't do anything to intervene. Now, that's another lesson. Let me just read it like I have it in my notes here. Adam was with Eve when she ate the fruit of the forbidden tree. He knew what God had said. He knew what the serpent had said. One of them was lying. I mean, they both can't be telling the truth, right? God says, in the day you eat thereof, you'll die. And the serpent says, you'll not surely die. One of them's lying. Now, Adam, he made a decision, a judgment, a conclusion of who was telling the truth. He used his five physical senses to present evidence to his mind in order to determine the truth. Adam really has made himself the judge of God's word. I will use my five physical senses to determine whether God's word can be trusted or not. What I mean by that is this. He's going, okay, God says, in the day you eat thereof, you'll surely die. The serpent says, you'll not surely die. My wife's partaking of the fruit, I'm going to watch. I'm here with her, I'm going to watch. I'll make a decision. Well, she took a bite of it. Chomp, chomp, swallow, swallow. She didn't fall over dead. She took another bite. We don't know how many bites. And by all of it, now see, Adam had no way to perceive spiritual death. He's using his five physical senses. He's looking right at her. He's going, I can touch her. I can smell her. I can hear her telling me to eat the fruit. All of my senses are telling me she's alive. And he had no way of knowing about spiritual death. I'm going to read this sentence again because it is the very definition of pride. He says, I will use my own five physical senses to determine whether God's word can be trusted or not. He watched Eve take a bite. She did not fall down dead. Perhaps she took several bites and she did not fall down dead. Adam's five physical senses told him Eve was still alive. By looking at what was seen, Adam made his judgment. To Adam, based on the evidence of what he could see, God's word is not the truth. His five physical senses were telling him, I can't trust God's word. Then Adam acted on what he believed to be the truth, and he ate of the fruit. We always act on what we believe, by the way. What if Adam had done the same thing then that God is telling me now? Humble yourself, Adam. When you've humbled yourself to where you can't humble yourself anymore, you think, then humble yourself some more. How would Adam have humbled himself in that situation? Rather than set himself up as the judge. Now, just what if he watched his wife eat the fruit of the forbidden tree? She didn't fall down dead, far as he could tell. What if he'd have said this instead of what he did? What if he'd have had this attitude? What if he'd have humbled himself? And he said, I don't care what I see. I don't care that I can touch her, feel her, hear her talking to me. I don't care. I'm not moved by what I see, what I can feel, what I can touch. I believe God's word. I don't understand how she can be standing there. He said she'd die. It looks to me like she didn't die. But I'm not going to become the judge. I'm going to believe God's word no matter what I see, what I feel. I humble myself. God, your word is truth. I will not eat of the fruit of that tree. What would be the end result of that? We'd all be in the garden. We wouldn't be in this mess. And it dawned on me, the humbling that God is after this year, at least in me, and I think maybe you. Gary, humble yourself to believe my word, no matter what you see, no matter what you feel, no matter the circumstances going on around you, humble yourself. My word is truth. God. I've been so guilty of pride. I think we all have. Even those of us that have loved God and done our best to serve God and spent so much time in the Word and spent so much time in prayer and even fasting. And still, when He showed me that this week, I was like, God, I set myself up as the judge all the time. I get prayed for, and if I still feel the symptoms, I make the same judgment that Adam did. I don't say it out loud or anything, but based on my actions. We always act on what we really believe. I do the same thing. I go, well, I guess it didn't work. I guess I'm not healed. I guess whatever, you know, and we do the same, I at least have done the same thing over and over and over this year. I want to just speak for me and not you. I intend to humble myself. See, most people that know me know that I've got a I'm going to change how I'll say it. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you so you understand what I'm saying. I've had a low back problem virtually all my life. And the reason for that is not important. It's gotten worse as I've gotten older. And my history has been, if you have seen me over the last 10 years, I walk very often, not all the time, but very often I walk stooped over like I'm 100 years old, you know, man. I'm not quite. I'm only 76. My mother would say, son, you're only 76. But up until now, because it's gotten worse as I've gotten older, in the past, Gary, say, why do you walk stooped over like that? Because it hurts when I don't. There's a certain position that if I walk in that position, then it alleviates the pain. If I use good posture and stand straight up, it's like somebody putting a knife right in, just in my backbone. Just, it is really extremely painful to the point, just can't stand it. So I've been prayed for. I have confessed the word. I've done all kinds of exercise. I've lost weight. I've improved my core, muscles, all of these different things. But when it comes right down to it, my facts, my world right now, I still walk that way. Now, let me get back to this, because I've got scripture on this. I'm going to, see, if I'm going to do the same thing that I think Adam should have done, which is, I'm going to believe your word is true, no matter what I feel, no matter what my circumstances are, then my attitude now has to be, I believe your word no matter what my five physical senses tell me. What is the truth? See, my job is to walk in truth. Jesus says, I am the truth. He says, Father, thy word is truth. Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, this year, I'm talking about me, and you can join with me if you want. This year, I am to humble myself more by believing every word that has proceeded out of the mouth of God. No matter what my circumstances are, no matter what my five physical senses tell me, Father, thy word is truth. I believe your word no matter what I see, no matter what I feel. Now, do I have any word? Do I have any word about being stooped over and being delivered from it? Well, yes. If you want to look it up, here's Luke 13, verses 11 through 13. Now see, all I can really do is talk about changing my circumstances, or let's say it different, believing the truth to change my facts. But you need to apply this. We all need to do this same thing. First off, so that we ourselves walk in truth. But if we walk in truth and we can deliver truth to other people, and that's called revival. Okay? So Gary, what has proceeded out of the mouth of God? Well, how about this in Luke 13, verses 11 through 13. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together, gotta say stooped over, and could in no wise lift up herself. Gee, that sounds like Gary, Gary's got a similar thing. Verse 12, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Do you think he would say anything different to Gary? Gary, you are loosed from this infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Well, how about Luke 13:16? He continues explaining. He said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, how about, should not this Gary, being a son of God, a child of God, whom Satan hath bound these 18 years, shouldn't he be loosed from this bond, even if it's on the Sabbath day? Absolutely. The answer is obviously yes. I am loosed. See, Jesus is the truth. He only does truth because he does the will of the Father. It is the will of the Father that people be loosed from being stooped over, bowed over. It is the will of the Father that I be loosed from this being bowed over forever. And then I have additional scripture. We all have 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now the word were is definitely past tense. If I were healed, then I are healed. Bad grammar, but it makes the point really well. If I were healed, then I am healed. I are healed. That is the truth. Then, in Matthew chapter 8, you could go through Matthew chapter 8, and it's just the Lord, first he heals the leper, which was incurable at the time. Then he cures from a distance the centurion's servant. Then he heals Peter's mother-in-law. And then in the evening, it said they brought crowds of people who brought their sick and their demon-possessed. And guess what? He healed them all. It says they were all healed. And why? It tells you right at the end of Matthew 8. Why did Jesus do this? Matthew 8:17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He took them. He took it from the leper. He took it from the centurion. I mean, the centurion servant was, he said he was sick unto death. He was near unto death. Jesus took it. Peter's mother-in-law, gone. She got up and made supper for him. And then all these crowds of people, God only knows how many people, and specifically mentions in those that were possessed with devils. No telling. The maniacs. All kinds of mental disease and things. If we're going to walk in the truth, I'm wondering, we have to humble ourselves and glorify God that he already has healed us. Jesus has already paid the price. See, every time we take communion, he said, do this in remembrance of me. And the first part of communion is that broken, that we break off a piece of bread or a cracker, whatever it is you have. Why? Because his body was broken for us. That's the first thing. His body was broken. By his stripes, we were healed. He took all of the punishment. He took everything. He took it upon himself. That removes leprosy from the leper, the death sentence from the centurion servant. I don't care what it is you've got. It does not matter what your circumstances are. We've got to humble ourselves. Again, I see Adam in the garden. Now he's looking right at Eve. He's looking right at her. And all of his senses. She ate that forbidden fruit. There she is. She's standing right there, beautiful as ever. I can touch her. I can smell her. She's speaking. I can hear her. All of my five physical senses tell me that she's still alive. But he set his
five physical senses up as the judge. He elevated himself, his perception, above the Word of God. We do that all the time. We do it all the time. We see, now I'm understanding even more clear those verses that say the just shall live by faith. We are to live by faith and not by sight. What if Adam had done that? Eve, you can offer me that fruit all you want to. I don't understand this. See, we don't always understand everything. He says, I don't understand this. Everything in me says that God's word can't be trusted, but I'm going to humble myself below what I see, what I can touch. I hear you, woman. I hear you, but I am not going to disobey God's word. Said another way, I am going to believe God's word. I humble myself. Oh, there's so many circumstances like that that we've got to hold. See, right now I'm remembering when all three of our children were in rebellion at the same time. I thank God there's better parents that where their children don't ever go into rebellion. I know some. God bless you. You may know who I'm talking to right now. But many of you, you know. But ours did. All three of ours were teenagers at the same time. I can't blame it on that. But they did. The truth of the matter was they were all three out there in rebellion at the same time. And, man, I mean, every day, it's bad reports of all kinds of things. And God He got this scripture to us, and I can't quote it. It's in Isaiah chapter, where God says, I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Oh my God, that verse was our rock. That verse was the anchor to our soul. And no matter what circumstances were in that case, we would humble ourselves. See, and we had to change our mouth. You know, we can't be speaking in opposition to what God's word says. And how's your kids doing? Well, man, we had to train ourselves to speak in line with what God said. And at the time, it'd been real easy to say, oh, we're just worried to death. They're out there in the bars and they're doing this and that. And I'm afraid they're going to get, you know, we have three daughters. I'm afraid they're going to get raped and maybe killed and God knows what all. And they may have, if they continue in that drinking, they might have a car wreck. And we could have just gone on and on and on with that, you know, with our mouth. But we trained ourselves to speak in line with God's word because we had that verse from Isaiah. God says, I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Oh my God, we held on to that. And so if you asked how your kids doing, right in the face of all the facts that we knew, we'd say, our daughters are the handmaidens of the Lord. They prophesy, they cast out devils, they serve God, they love God with all of their heart, their soul, their mind, and their strength. They're little preachers of the Word of God. They serve Him with all of their heart. However long you wanted to stand there, we would just keep saying words that lined up with the truth, that lined up with the end result. In that case, thank God, we humbled ourselves to believe God's Word no matter what we saw. And all three of them came into the kingdom of God. None of them were destroyed. They're all three living righteous lives today. And I thank God for that. We thank God for that. God's word can be trusted. See, it takes a humbling sometimes. So back to my back situation. Now, should I be a good steward of this body? Yes, I'm going to the gym. I'm changing, you know, my diet has changed a lot in the last few years. I'm trying to work on my core. Those are all great things. But none of that has ultimately changed the situation. You know what will change it? Truth changes facts. Jesus came from the realm of truth, that realm where God lives. That realm, no wonder Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. See, the things that limit us in this three-dimensional world, God is not limited by those things at all. And Jesus demonstrated that to us over and over again. Walking on the water, you do know that's impossible according to the laws of physics for a human man to walk, you know, that size and mass to walk on H2O. that's not frozen. That's impossible in this realm. It's a fact. But it's not impossible to the realm of truth where God lives. God lives in a whole different realm, and the prayer is, "Your kingdom come here." Well, that kingdom, when it comes, it has higher laws than the laws of physics here. And obviously it is possible for a man to walk. Even Peter walked on the water. It's not just Jesus. Peter walked on the water based on the anointing that Jesus had. So how about multiplying the loaves and fishes? How would you like to try and feed thousands of people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? I heard one preacher, God bless him, well, they had bigger loaves back then. It was a little boy's lunch. It was a little boy's lunch. I mean, it's a little 5 loaves and 2 fishes, you know. fish and chips, can I say? Kind of like, it's a little boy's lunch. And with that, you can't feed thousands of people. It says they ate till they were full and they had food left over. That cannot happen with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, according to the physics of this world. It's absolutely impossible. But see, Jesus so humbled himself. He is the Word. And he humbled himself as a man to believe God's Word no matter what. I mean, his 5 physical senses would tell him, well, you can't do this. 5 loaves and 2 fishes and thousands of people. You can't do this. But see, he humbled himself to believe, well, all things are possible. Father, bless this. He held it up. Father, bless this. And gives it out. And it actually multiplied in the disciples' hands. Oh, I wish we had a movie of that. I wish we had a... Maybe in heaven we'll get to see a replay. I would love to watch. I want to see it actually multiply in the disciples' hands as they're giving it out. And it just keeps being there. And they're giving it out. And it just keeps being there. We had the only thing that Sue and I ever had that was close to that during one of those Bible studies that we used to have here at the house in the early days. So, some of these people came were really poor. And so Sue, you know, that loving compassion that's in her, she wanted to have food for them. So we didn't have much money. So one of the things that you can do cheaply to feed people is make either goulash or like a stew, something like that. And, you know, if more people show up than you expected, you secretly add a little more water, you know. Well, we had a large group come this one night, and way more people than we had made soup or stew, whatever it was for. Well, what do you do in a case like that? Well, when you're dipping it out into a bowl, you don't look. Because you don't want to be moved by what you see, and you know there's not enough in there. But you just keep dipping, you know. And wouldn't you know it, that pot did not go empty till the last person was served. And we're looking at that little pot, and we're going, there is no way. But there was a way. Oh, thank God for his mercy and his grace. People, if we're going to walk in the truth, really walk in the truth, give God this great pleasure. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth, not just know it, walk in the truth. To walk in the truth of this end time revival, where all things are possible, where the works that Jesus did, we're doing it also, and even greater than what he did, because there's so many more of us now. If we're going to really walk in truth, we've got to humble ourselves to believe every word that the Bible says, but specifically, Jesus said in John chapter 8, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We've got one Lord, we've got one Master, we've got one King that we yield to, that we bow to, and he says, all things are possible. To me, he's saying it this way, Gary, and maybe to you, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. And when you've humbled yourself to where you can't humble yourself anymore, then humble yourself some more. So in my own heart, I'm going, Lord, All right, I'm going to take the situation I'm dealing with. I don't care what my back feels like. I don't care what the pain says. I don't care what I look like in the mirror. The truth is, by your stripes, Lord, I was healed and I am healed. And I thank you, God, that I walk straight and true like a man should walk, because that is your will. Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. I humble myself, Lord. I humble myself. I believe your word. I am healed. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye for now.